That's one of my favorite songs. That's a great song. That's an old time song. Don't ever give up on the old songs. Those old songs are great. Don't ever give up on a song like The Lighthouse and stuff like that. I thank God for The Lighthouse and all them old great songs. Oh, man, you did a great job, man. You were a blessing. Thank you. Talking this morning how I got an all, every candidate on the Republican and the Democrat, and we related it to scriptural, like Senator Obama wants to make change here. Well, Jesus is going to change our whole bodies and brand new, give us brand new things, amen? Mrs. Clinton wants to give us health care, and Jesus is going to give us no more death, no more sorrow, amen? One wants to give us a new environment, and Jesus is going to give us a brand new earth, new heaven, amen? And we had all kinds of fun with that. That would be a good one to send to preachers. That's a good little outline for preachers. And had some good time. Okay, good to see you tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. What are you kids doing? What are you kids up to? You know, you got school tomorrow, so don't let your kids got school. We're not closing school down. Okay. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject, Old Testament references spoken of by Jesus. And they just got the giggles. They're all right. And kids get that sometimes. It's been a long time since Lizzie's coming back. We'll get the giggles back in here. Amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, 2 Timothy 3:15. Good to see each one of you tonight. Did we have any guests tonight? Anyone visiting for the first time? Good to have you, sir. God bless you. Did we give him a packet? We did give him? No? I want to do that. We want to make sure he gets a gift. We have a gift, sir. Thank you for coming. Hope you keep coming. Thank God for your coming. And good to see you. If you could fill that card out, and there's a little card in there. You keep everything else filled out, and then just hand it to one of the ushers before you leave tonight. Thank you for coming, and good to have you. Good to have each one of you tonight. All righty, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul said this, and that from a child. You have the scripture with me? And that from a child thou hast known the what? Holy Scriptures. It's good that you know your Bible. It's good that Jimmy hears preacher. I don't care what he's hearing me preach. It's good that Jimmy hears preacher. Mike Porter talked about yesterday. We had the meeting. He said the best help for couples and anybody in our church, the best counseling session is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. To hear the, and it's good that you kids are hearing the Word of God, because that Word of God never goes out void. Look at the scripture. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Which these holy scriptures can do something. Look what these scriptures can do for you. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. There's nothing more important than having salvation through Christ. Wise unto through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, it tells you who to have faith in, how, and that faith will give you salvation. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction, in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This Bible can help you go through life. It's got all the answers to life. By the way, it's got all the answers for the future life, too, through Jesus Christ. Look at that verse 15 again. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And what, one more scripture. Look at Romans chapter 15, Acts, Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever were written, in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Learning. In other words, Ruthie, when we read this Bible, We're to learn things from it. Amen? Tonight I'm going to try to make you think and learn. I'm going to try to stir up your mind to think with me and to learn. For what sort of these things are written aforetime are written for our learning. A lot of times I'll be preaching. You'll see me stop and talk to my young preachers here. I'll take time and did you get that preacher? I want you to have that preacher. Did you get? Because I know that one day they'll be leaders. Are you with me? And so that we through patience and comfort of the script. Look at that. We're written for our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? There's one hope today. That's hope. The hope is in hope in Jesus Christ. And he's a sure hope. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful, precious word of God. I pray you'll bless us. Lord, you put this thought in my heart the other day. And I just pray now, Lord, I can be a blessing to the people. I sure want to be. And Lord, use me tonight to be a blessing. Help me to say everything I'm supposed to say. Lord, if I'm not supposed to say something, then blot out my mind and don't let me say it. But Father, please help me. I just want to be a blessing to every person here. Help me, Father, to do well for you that I can be a blessing to them. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank God for our Bible. Amen. It brings us about Christ. We get salvation through faith in Lord Jesus Christ. How many got faith in Christ? Say amen. Amen. I'm glad we're working that Sunday school. I'm glad I'm saved. Saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Born again, washed in the blood. I'm glad I'm saved. And gives you hope and gives you assurance and gives you encouragement, gives you comfort. And so, as you read through and study, Bobby, I heard something today from this last week, about midweek, I heard something that just stuck in me. And it was just an AM station on 1100. It wasn't a religious show at all. And the guy, it wasn't about Christianity, but he made a statement. And he said something about Christ referring to the Old Testament. And then they went on. And I said, yeah, that. We go by that and don't even think about stuff like that. And he just did it in saying off his cuff. And I said, yeah. He was actually referring back to the Genesis flood and stuff like that. But and he might have been a Christian man. I'm not sure. But I said, yeah. And so I started, and of course, we're not even going to get near all the scriptures. But I said, I'm going to just take a few scriptures that Jesus spoke in the New Testament referring to the Old Testament. You know, look up here. Do you think Jesus, when he spoke of those Old Testament things, was saying it for nothing? No. How many think when Jesus was referring to either a person, place, or a period of time, when he referred to that, he was wanting us to learn from it? Amen? And so we're going to look at a few things tonight. Tonight we're going to look at a few and reflect on them. Think why Jesus made those references. Why did he say that to me? You know, I used to have a preacher over in Toledo, Pastor Harold O'Brien. He was a real wise man. He was a real quiet fellow. And I kind of made it kind of a blend with him and me at the church. He was soft and I was loud and, you know, and... But he was a real great guy, solid guy. And he'd take me out in his office once in a while. Oh, I've been in the office, trust me. Lots of times. That's why I know how to yell at you guys, because I got yelled at so much. Amen. I wrote down everything they told me so I could give it to the next guy.
Amen. Good preaching.
Amen. But Eddie's chuckling. I got a book now, preacher. But and I'd walk out of there sometimes. I'd say thank you, and I'd walk home saying, I know what he said to me. I wonder what he's trying to tell me. He would always provoke me to think, Bobby. I'm just a straight porcupine preacher. I preach so people get the point. He would say things sometimes, and I'd have to ponder, what is he trying to tell me? And he was trying to tell me something, but I think he was just trying to stir me to think. Amen? And plus, he was more polite than I am. Amen? And so he was probably politely chewing me out, Mike, and I just didn't realize it. Amen. But anyways, tonight I want to give you some thoughts. Jesus said some things while he was on this earth, and he referred to the Old Testament several times. And I think a lot of times when we read the New Testament, when I'm talking about, you read just these four. I think after this, someday I'm going to sit down and read those four. Just read those four Gospels, Andy, in just one light. Just the light of reading what Jesus wrote about the Old Testament to see what I can glean from it. I've already sit down sometimes, and when I was younger, sit down and just went through the whole four Gospels, just recording all the miracles and stuff like that. So that's how you learn. And so there's no doubt I'll probably have a project this summer sitting down going through all this stuff. But tonight I'm just going to give you a little thing on a few things that Christ said. Well, when Christ made those references to those Old Testament places or persons or people or periods of time, what was he trying to convey to us? Not just words. What lesson did he want me to learn from it? Every time Jesus did something, he did it for a reason. He had a purpose behind everything. What truth did he want us to understand from a statement? And so tonight, I want us just to take a few moments and reflect on some of the references of the Old Testament that Christ spoke. Now, folks, I've only took a few of them. There's no way I could never get it done. We'd be here to doomsday, you know, if I did every one of them. But and you wouldn't stay here and hear me preach that long anyways. So, amen? Okay. Let's think about the first one. People. Let's think about some of the people that he spoke about. You know, I got Abraham. Abraham, right?
Yep.
Noah, yep. Jonah, Moses, Solomon. Are you with me? Let's just look at Abraham to start with, okay? Look at John 8:58. Jesus said in John 8:58, they said, How could you know about Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. Man, Abraham was back over 2,000 years before Christ. And he said that he made a great statement in John 8:58. He said, and by the way, every Jehovah's Witness ought to learn this. Every person in Jehovah's Witness ought to, and you ought to learn this so you can show it to people and set them free. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. And if you look at verse 59, they took up stones to kill him. Now, do you know why they took up stones to kill Jesus when he said, before Abraham was, I am? He was telling them, hey, I'm more than a mere man. I'm God. I'm far above it. Man, he said, you're looking up to Abraham. He's your father. You say, but listen, I was before Abraham. I'm God. I am the Exodus 3:14 of the Bible. I am the I am. Moses said, God, what should I tell him your name is? He said, you tell him I am had sent you. That's why when Jesus came on earth, he said, I am the way. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection life. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the resurrection. I am 1,000 times. Amen. And so Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Thus making us understand something. What do we need to understand? What was he wanting them to understand? What's he want us to understand? He's not just a religious figure. He was God. Why are you still in John? To back up this, look at John 14. Look at John chapter 14. In verse 6. Jesus said, I am. How many got John 14:6? Jesus said, I'm just telling you what he said. I am. Boy, he said that back in John 8:58, didn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There he's making a statement. I'm God. Watch this, though. It doesn't stop there. If you have known me, verse 7, you should have known my Father also. See, you can't know Jesus and not know God, and you can't know God and not know Jesus. The moment I asked Christ to save me in 1969, I for the first time in my life, I made Jesus my Savior, and I realized who God was. Because when I invited Christ in my life, not only did I get the Son of God, God came into my life, so the Holy Spirit. Amen? They're three in one. Now watch. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Boy, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it suffices. In other words, okay, if you can show us God, Jesus, it'll make us happy. It'll satisfy us, suffice us. Are you with me? Look what Jesus said in verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Wow. Philip, I'm God. You mean you've been with God all this time? You don't even know you've been with him? Are you with me? And he that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Philip, I am. I am God incarnate. I am God manifested in the flesh. But what's he trying to teach? Not only is he trying to teach Philip that, he's trying to teach me that and you that also. Jesus just isn't a regular man, just not a prophet, he's not just a religious person. He was God Almighty come down in the flesh. Do you see that? Do you see that? Because he wants you to see it. Look, let me give you another scripture while you're in it. Look at Luke 19:9. Oh, Zacchaeus, wee little man, climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Remember that? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Super church, amen. Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree. Because I'm going to your house today. Amen. Look at Zechariah. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 9. Jesus said unto him, Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house. Are you still with me? For as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Wow. How could he be the son of Abraham? Abraham was over 2,000 years before this. I'll tell you how. Now, one could say, well, he's through the bloodline. And I could say yes to that. But I think he's saying far more. He's not talking about the bloodline here. What came into Zacchaeus' life in verse 9? Salvation. See, and he said he became the son of Abraham. And Romans, don't turn to it, but you can look at it later. In Romans 4:16, it says Abraham is the father of our faith. In other words, look up here. I hope you get this. See, I teach this in Romans, but it's not everybody's had that class. Most of you have. See, Abraham had faith in Christ. In Genesis 15:6, the Bible says Abraham believed on him and was accounted him righteousness. Genesis 15:6. Are you with me, class? Stay with me. And so he said, I want you to know, you got saved just like Abraham. Abraham's the father of our faith. So your faith is just like the one that started it, Abraham of the Jews. Are you listening to the preacher? Isn't this good stuff? Boy, he's trying to make us learn, isn't he? Well, we just read over that and we don't ponder what he said, man, you know what? I want you to know something. Even though Abraham had faith, even though Abraham's over 2,000 years old, he had to say, he put his faith in me just like you did. See, Old Testament people and New Testament people all got saved the same way. They believed on the Messiah. One looked for the Redeemer to come, and we looked for the Redeemer that already came and is coming back. Amen? So my question here, then we'll go on to the next person. Do you have faith in Jesus as your Savior, as did Abraham, as did Zacchaeus? Have you got that from Christ yet? Well, it's important. Amen? Look at the next person. Let's talk about Noah. Oh, Noah. Good old Noah. Good guy. Are you with me? Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Boy, I got to get moving. Wow. Man, because the last part, man, I'm going to be going, the last part's really fun. I'm telling you. It's going to be exciting. Matthew chapter 24. Actually, I could preach the last part and forget about it, because the last part, to me, is the funnest. Matthew chapter 24. I can't wait to get down the period of time. That's what I really want. But Matthew 24:37. We're talking tonight, and we're looking, and we're trying to learn Old Testament references that Christ made. Why? What were some of the references that he made, and why did he make them, and what are we to learn from those references? And so, in Matthew 24:37, are we taping this, Jimmy? Good. Matthew 24 and verse 37, look what it said, what Jesus said, not what the preacher said. I'm just quoting what he says. But as the days of Noah were, are you with me there? So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving into marriage, until the day that Noah entered in the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's talking about Noah, and he's talking about the days of Noah. Now don't turn to it. The question is, and I wrote this down, Judy, what were the days of Noah like? Because he said, Jesus said, and if Jesus said it, I don't care, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Well, if you study your Bible, we know that the days of Noah are in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, hello, the flood and everything. Well, when you study Genesis 6, it says in the days of Noah, people were so evil and wicked that God repented that he made man. That's how bad it was. Are you with me? And there were giants in those days too, by the way. I won't get on that, but I want you to know that. That's a little thing I want to put there. I won't preach on it tonight. But I want you to know that evil was on continually. And look at Matthew says they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage. How many see that? And what did Noah warn them? He did warn them. Did they heed his warning? So, Evan, and by the way, Noah was a preacher. Did you know Noah was God's preacher? I'm going to read to you from 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. Eight's always a type of salvation, eight in the ark. A preacher, I love that name, preacher. It's my favorite name. If you call me anything, call me preacher. I love preacher. I mean, I can live with any other name, but preacher is my favorite. I always like to be in a bunch of group of about 300 preachers, and someone says, "Hey, preacher!" Everybody stops. Some way to get their attention. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, Noah was God's preacher, God's man. And Sean, some of the things that went on during the days of Noah, number one, people were so evil and wicked that it made God feel bad that he made man. The Bible says, and it repented God that he made man. They were so evil, so wicked. By the way, I don't know about you, but I don't know how I can get, every year I say it can't get any worse, any wickeder. But Brother Carl, it seems like we always find something in the news. My lands, can that be possible? Grandma Lemley, when you were young and the little girl, things that are happening today, like the folks that are even older than me, I can't imagine, you seniors above me, you even had better days than I did. There was still morality and still uprightness and character. And what we're seeing today, people burning their own children, people drowning them, killing them, just because they cry. Leaving them, abandoning them, and killing them in abortions. There's no stop to the evil. And Grandma, to me, it seems like it's a whole lot wickeder now than it was when I was a kid. It seems like our earth, it seems like our world's getting progressively more wicked and wicked and wicked. The adultery and the sex, man. Every commercial It just seems like we live in a day of filth. I don't remember that. You know, things used to be censored. Boy, those days of censorship is gone. And if you think it's bad in America, go over to Germany or to Europe. It's white, right out open. I mean, they think it's ever normal. Prostitution is legal in Germany and in Europe. Hello? You can't believe all the wickedness this world is. This world is just going farther and farther, and their hearts farther hardened away from God. We're living in that day right now. I feel sorry for you kids, because I'm going to tell you, there was still, when I was your age, Levi, there was still, everybody still got in trouble. Don't misunderstand me. Preacher was constantly in trouble, but it wasn't the evil trouble. It was mischievous trouble. There's a difference. You know, we'd soak windows and stuff like that, but we didn't hurt people. Amen? Unless it was a gang fight, that was different. But anyway, didn't hurt. Look, what I'm saying is this. It's changed. And you kids are now living an age with all the horrible, the computer that they have these things, where your kids got your own sites, and these pedophiles go on there, and they get these little girls, and they're 10, 12 years old, and they go to their home and just do all horrible things to them. And I'm going to tell you, that never happened. That was never a thing. And I'm telling you right now, you kids, if you got those websites that those kids, you ought not to have those websites. I mean that. Don't you get mad at preacher. Those websites will get you into trouble. Because they send evil pictures and all kind of stuff. Listen, if you use a computer, it better be for studying the subject at the school, and that's it. You don't need a computer other than that. Amen? I'm going to tell you, that computer can be very, very evil. And it's hurt our country. It's hurt the world. I've heard of more women running off with men and men running off with women through the computer. Evil. Every day. And how many think we're in the days of knowing? Evil. You say, oh, preacher, you're just an old. Yeah, I am old. And God's, the Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, go to the old paths, wherein is the good way. Walk in the old paths. Mike, we're old timers, and we're old fashioned. I'm going to be old fashioned until the day I die. People, but they're evil, and they, notice they were drinking. Man, there's so much. Listen, we might be cutting back on buying houses, but they're not cutting back drinking. They might cut back on their food bill, but they're not cutting back on drinking. You check the records, the alcohol sales are up. By the way, and America is not number one on the list. You go in those European countries and in Switzerland and stuff like that, they're bigger drinkers than we are, Tom. Of course, I'm not a drinker. I drink orange juice and stuff. I used to drink a lot. Andy, I used to keep a case of beer in my trunk. I was afraid we'd run out of alcohol. But after I got saved, I never quit drinking. I just changed fountains. Amen? Haven't had a drop of alcohol in over 30 years outside of NyQuil. And after it drugged me, I never got that again. There's 25% alcohol in NyQuil. Some of you guys are going to get a hangover tonight. Give me that NyQuil bottle. The whole thing. Take it when you're on blood pressure pills. You'd be like that guy playing ukulele, the Tiny Tim and the Tulips. Alcohol, wickedness abounding. People going in schools killing. We never had that. Burning. And it's just. I mean, folks, it's just. Well, I don't have to tell you. You know what I'm telling you is true. How many think that looks like the days of Noah? Mocking the preacher? Laughing at what God's man says? Watch out. And by the way, I kept saying, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Oh, that guy, that old fat man, he's been saying it for years. He's coming back. And by the way, were they ready when the flood came? No. And when Jesus comes back, there'll be a lot of people, the majority will not be ready because they didn't listen to the word of God, to the man of God, to the preaching of God's word. And they closed their ears to the preacher of righteousness. And just like they didn't hear God's preacher back in Noah's day, Noah, they're not hearing the fundamental preachers today. Thank you, preacher. And so, and by the way, married and given to married. We got over 50% divorce rate. And then, by the way, eating and drinking. And by the way, I fall into this category. What's the number one pastime for most of us in all America? Going out to eat. Little Tippy Brooks is going to have a birthday real soon. I think it's the 11th of this month, March 11th. And Arlene's taking her out for her birthday, I think, or something like that. And she says, what would you like? She said, well, I'd like you to take my favorite restaurant. What's that? Applebee's. She's never been there. But she goes up the street in front of your house, and she sees it on the left-hand side. But what I'm saying, even our little kids, they want, what, where are we? Olive Garden? Yeah. Hello? Hibachi Japan? Red Lobster? Hello? Carrabba's? No, Carrabba's? Carrabba's? Hello, Carrabba's? I love Carrabba's. Boy, that's Italian. That's the nicest stuff. Are you with me? Cracker Barrel! I was there today! Jossie, y'all, my stock in that thing, man! Jossie's there 3 or 4 times a week. Richtown. Rose and I went there the other morning. Here, there's Jossie chucking it down, buddy. The waitress said, he's here more than you are, preacher. That's bad. Because that's a place we frequent quite a bit. Look up here. I might have to jump over some of this stuff. Because the best part's at the end. So, anyways, what I want to say to you is this. Everyone's going out. We all like to be entertained. Does that look like the Noah's Day? You better believe it. You better believe it. Now, let's look at the next one. Jonah. Matthew 16:4. I'm just going to have to do these real quick because it's already 7:05. And my trouble is it takes me a while to teach. I like to explain things, and I never go fast. When I was taught, Dr. John Brook never went fast. He could take one hour teaching on one word. He would teach on thoughts. He would take an hour on one word. He could take 4 hours on one word. And, of course, I was in every class, and I learned what he taught. And so, yes, I did. You give me any word you want. You could almost say any word you want to me, and I could probably come up with scripture for every one of them, no matter what the word is. He taught me to think. But line upon line, precept upon precept, that's how you learn the word of God. See, you learn principles, you learn doctrine, you learn precepts, and line upon line, the scripture says in Isaiah, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and you just keep putting things, and then you say, see, it's like, how many of you have ever done crossword puzzles? And see, all of a sudden, man, now it's starting to take form. Because you're seeing the picture take hold. And that's how it is the Bible. When you study, you just don't study one thing. Study a lot of things. Amen? Okay. Well, so we saw Jesus talking about Noah. And he wanted us to know, hey, you're in that last time too. Does that sound like the day we live? I think it does. Jonah, Matthew 16:4. Look at that. Matthew 16:4. A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now, what's he trying to show me there? Well, I thought about that, Bobby. Everybody knows. We know the immediate thought. Everybody knows that Jonah was in the well for 3 days and 3 nights. Right? And we know the immediate thought. It's a truth. And it was a picture that Christ was going to be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. It was symbolic that just like Jonah was in the belly of the well 3 days and 3. Remember, he was down deep and underneath the sea. In other words, he was buried, and he came up alive. after being buried for 3 days in the deep sea in the whale. Then he spit on the earth. Are you with me? The whale upchuck puked him right out. Are you with me? I thought the kids would like that. Hey, that preacher's cool, man. He's up to date. I like that puke message. Listen to me. And I know it does. I know it refers to that Christ was trying to show, hey, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth, but I'm going to come up 3 days later too. But I think it even goes beyond that. I thought about it. I thought about this. If you want, I think Jesus is saying this. I know that what I first said is definitely the primary truth. But I think there's an underlying truth. I thought about this. See, what's the chances of being swallowed up by a whale and being down in the deep depths of the sea for 3 days and three nights and coming back alive? Then getting up and running and go to a city and preach 8 words and win a whole town, a whole city to Christ, the city called Nineveh? What's the chance of even being alive, let alone getting up and running? Hello? And he didn't have that, what's the orange pop you kids drink that helps you with your pro? What's the sports stuff you kids take, Corey? He didn't have Gatorade. No Gatorade. Power line, whatever it's called. Power drink. Yep, that's it. He didn't have it either. He didn't have that one either. Now watch. Watch this. I think there's a truth behind it. If you don't believe God could bring that man back alive from the whale, you wouldn't believe God would bring Jesus back either. So if you won't believe the story of Jonah and the whale, you won't believe the resurrection of Christ. Think about that. You want a sign? All right. Do you believe Jonah and the whale? Because if you don't, you're not going to believe what I'm going to do. Because I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to be dead. I'm going to be in the ground 3 days and three nights, and I'm going to come up just like he did. And if you won't believe that, you probably won't believe me. Amen? Let's move to the next one. By the way, have you believed it? Solomon, in Luke chapter 11, verse 31, it's really getting late. I'll quit in 10 minutes, right in there. No, I will. I promise I'll get you out by 7:30. And this is good stuff. I'm not bored at all. You might be, but I'm having a good time. It's always fun when you're doing the preaching. The other guy, when you're sitting there, oh, man, come on, hurry up. 11:31. Talk about Solomon. The queen of the south shall rise up into judgment with the men of generation and condemn them, for she came from uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, greater than Solomon is here. If you were to go out and ask most people, that at least not a little study of their Bible and history, and you'd say, what's the wisest man? Who's the most wisest man that ever lived? Most people would probably say Solomon. If you say, what's the wisest man that ever walked on the face of the earth? Most people would say, probably Solomon. And Jesus just said there, all right, they came from all over the world to hear Solomon. Just to hear his words. And I'm far above Solomon. So if you came from all over to hear about what Solomon could tell you, how much more should you come to hear what I've got to tell you? Yeah. Christians, how much more, Brother Carey, should we come to hear what God has to tell us? Amen? Yeah. Boy, when you start thinking about all these things he's saying, he's really getting to a point. In other words, hello, you ought to come to church. You ought to hear. So then faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. Amen? Let me move on because listen. And then he went and talked about the lilies in Luke 12:27, and just how marvelous they were. And he said, listen, I'm the great creator. I can fashion things and create things and make things. Listen, don't trust in what the world has. Just trust in the creator. Because listen, you think Psalm was never arrayed any better than what I. That was nothing what I did for him. I could do greater. I can do greater things for you if I want any for anyone. Just trust in me, amen. Then Lot, in Luke 17. I got you in Luke, don't I? Luke 17. Luke 17, 26. And as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, drink, they were married, wives, and they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered in the ark. Flood came and destroyed them all. And likewise, also it was the days that Lot, Lot. Now he goes from Noah to Lot. Likewise, also in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought and sold, they planted, they built it. But that same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Sin always has judgment. Be sure your sin will find you out. Are you with me? How many are still with me? And I'm just going to cut this. God always has a payday for sin. Say that with me, kids. God always has, say it with me, God always has a payday for sin. Say it with me. God always has a payday for sin. Say it one more time. God, come on. I want to hear you. God always has a payday for sin. He always does. When you guys work during the week, at the end of the week, you get a payday. You get a paycheck. It's payday. You can't. Friday comes. Hey, man, it's payday. I love payday. Friday, usually the eagle flies on Friday. You know, on your dollar bill. Oh, you'll get it later. Payday always comes. It's a great message. Payday someday. It's payday by a great preacher. I don't have it with me right now. Judgment comes suddenly. Here's the truth I want you to get from what he's saying there. God always has a payday for sin. Number two, judgment comes suddenly and powerfully. It always does. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? And what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? And what happened to the days of Noah? All those people were destroyed. So there's always judgment on sin. Are you with me? And it always comes suddenly. Without, there's warning, but they're not looking for it. There's plenty of warning before it comes. And when it comes, that's another thought. Was there warning given? Yes. But did people heed the warning? No. That's why you kids aren't listening tonight. You're not listening. You're not going to heed the warning, and you're going to get in trouble. And you're going to somebody bam, hear me, call me, cry me in the middle of the night, say, preacher, you're not going to believe this happened to me. I wish I would have listened to you now. Hello? And then number three, God always gets his children out before judgment fell. The truth I want you to get is this. Now I'm going to go to the last one. Before he flooded the earth, Noah got in the ark. His wife and his three boys and three wives. Are you with me? He always protected his children. Before they destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel said, come on, we got to get you out because we can't destroy it till you're out. And then God pulled Lot out and then he destroyed it, but he had to get that. And Lot was a saved man. It talks in Peter, he's that righteous man. His soul was vexed daily. Are you with me? How many are with me? That's why, Grandma, I know that we're going up in the rapture before the tribulation. Because God always takes his children out before judgment. He took it out in Noah's day. He took it out in Lot's day. And every time before great judgment comes, God always takes his children out. That's why we're going up in the rapture. Then the tribulation is going to happen. I'll keep you from that hour, Revelation 3:10. Amen? Okay, then, quickly. We're not going to turn to him, but in Luke 17:29, he talked about destroying Sodom. In Luke 11:29, he just talked about destroying Nineveh, just two cities. Did you know something about Sodom and Gomorrah? He destroyed them by, you know what was prevalent there? Queers, sodomites. Genesis 13:13 says they were exceedingly wicked. Homosexuality is not a lifestyle.
Right.
It's an abomination before God, according to the scriptures, and I believe the scriptures. It's not an alternate lifestyle. But God, because they would not repent, judgment came. Nineveh, 120,000 people. Are you with me? Jonah preached, and from the king on down, they repented. So what? And God spared them. So repentance brings sparing of judgment sometimes. It always comes if you repent and trust Christ your Savior, because he took all our judgment. So repentance can spare you from judgment because Jesus took all our judgment. Now what about America? America's so bad and crumbling. What's going to happen to America? Unless America repents, unless there's a nationwide revival with a lot of repentance, America is going to be destroyed. But if America's got hope, because if there'd be a lot of preachers preaching on judgment, if there'd be a lot of preachers not being afraid to what people look at them, just say what the Bible says, and not be afraid of man's eyes, amen? That's why we need to get the preachers. That's why we got to kind of stir up those preachers, put a little fire in them, so they can go in and put a little fire in their congregation. The reason America's like today because they didn't have fire. When the pulpit ran out of fire in the churches in America, America went to judgments. When the pulpits were hot, on fire, and preaching against sin, and preaching for holiness, and preaching for righteousness, America had some morals and some character. And right meant right, and wrong meant wrong, and you older folks know I'm telling you the truth. And I'm not as old, but I grew up, I was at the last part of that. I saw it. You kids never saw it, but preachers just old enough. See, I'm not ready to kick the bucket. I'm a little over mid-age, but I still got a lot of fire in me. I do, Andy. I ain't kidding. And so I lose this weight, man. You'll be seeing me go big time. I'll be jumping pews again. Maybe. Listen to me. America's in trouble. I used to jump pews when I was a kid preacher. I preached off a piano when I was a kid. Don't you guys do that, and don't you ever do that. That was stupid of me to do that kind of stuff. That's why I got in the preacher's office a lot. You can't do those kind of things. Oh, I thought everybody did those. Wasn't I supposed to do that? Okay. Anyways, so America's only hope from judgment from Almighty God is to repent. So America needs preachers that will preach against sin and preach on holiness. Amen? Lastly, and I'll let you go home. The period of time. Stay with me. This is going to take me 10 minutes. I want you to look at Luke 21. But this is good stuff here, Andy. I just got this thought this week, Andy. Oh, I've had this thought, but the Lord gave me more tweak to it. Look at Luke chapter 21, verse 29. And Jesus said, he spake to them a parable. Are you in Luke 21, 29? Behold, the fig tree. Now, we know what the fig tree is. It's the nation Israel. Are you with me? Behold, Israel. Behold, the fig tree. And all the trees. And when they now shoot forth, you see no of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Boy, Samuel, I drive up and down this Freedom Street, and boy, even the Rupert shop is already open. A&W is already open. You don't usually open this early. I couldn't believe it. Usually when he comes in, I'm seeing the buds on the trees. He's even ahead of the buds and the robins this year, although some people told me they've seen robins. You seen robins, Lou? Amen. When he said, when you start seeing those buds, one thing we all know when we see the buds, summer's coming. And we'll have fun till our daddy takes our T-bird away. Hey, hey. Are you with me? Dave said, he said, I'm the only preacher to teach all these 50 songs to all these kids. That's good preaching, isn't it? Okay. Now, notice, summer's nigh, and so is this message. So likewise, you shall, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh. Verily, verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now, to save time, I want you to do something. The fig tree's Israel. Question, who was the man that God used to be the father of Israel? Abraham, right? What was the beginning of what was his beginnings? Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot became Israel, and he had the 12 sons, and that's your nation. 12 sons of Israel. Amen? Stay with me. It all started, though, with Abraham. Are you with me? Now, look, as you study this, look about this. In verse 32, this generation shall not pass. How many see that? And I preached on this, but I'm going to show you something that I've never showed you tonight. What generation? What generation is he talking about? The generation that comes back in that when it starts to bud. Are you with me? How many are still with me? Say amen. Amen. Look at verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive in all nations, and they shall be led away. The Jews shall be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. How many see that? In 70 AD, the Roman army came in and leveled Jerusalem. Leveled it. Burned it down. General Titus leveled it. Not a block was standing. They burned it down. Nothing. It was leveled. Jerusalem. By the way, Jerusalem's the apple of God's eye. Everything's around Jerusalem. Always remember that. Those that pray for Jerusalem, God will bless. The Bible teaches that. Are you with me? Watch this. He mentions Jerusalem. He mentions Abraham. Are you with me? How many are with me yet? Or he refers, okay, now stay with me on this. Stay with me. He said, "This my people, Jerusalem's going to be burnt down, and my people are going to be scattered all over the world." Are you with me? But at the end of time, I'm going to bring them back. I want you to turn real quickly, I'll just read it to you. Ezekiel chapter, if you could turn to it, Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, I want you to see something. And I'll put all this together for you real quick. Moreover, the word of the Lord, I'm in Ezekiel 36, verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the Son of Man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land. When did they dwell in their own land? Over 2,000 years ago. Now they're back. Look at verse 18. When I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherein they had polluted it. Look at verse 19, Andy. I scattered them among the heathen. For over 2,000 years, the people of Israel had no nation. They were scattered all over this earth. Well, it was amazing, though, no matter where they went. I don't care if they were in New York or Paris, they were a Jew. They never lost their identity. They lost their homeland, but they never lost their identity. Are you still with me? Stay with me. I've scattered them among the heathen. Now, you know the heathen is Gentiles. If you're not Jew, you're Gentile. And so God's referring to all the nations of the earth. Are you with me? And they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name. I had pity for my name, his name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say, okay, Ezekiel, say this unto the people of Israel. Therefore, 22, say unto the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name. Because if you see, God said he would preserve Israel. So if they're not preserved, then it makes God not strong. Are you with me? How many are with me? Say amen. Which you have profaned among the heathen where you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen you shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Verse 24, and you ought to put on there, yabba dabba do. For I will take you from among the heathen, Israel, and gather you out of all countries. In the early 1900s, Samuel, the Jewish people just kept coming back. They asked them, why are you coming back? Why are you coming back? We don't know. There's just something inside us that we got to go back. We got to go back. We got to go back to Israel. We got to go back. They didn't have no country. They didn't have a nation. But they just kept, and they interviewed them. Why are you? Thousands and thousands and thousands coming back. And they say, why are you coming back? From all over the world, they just kept coming back. And he said, we have something inside us. It says we have to return, just like God tells that goose to go south. You think that goose does that on his own? We have a great creator. I'm not comparing them to a goose, but I'm saying even the animals obey God. We're the ones that don't obey him. Amen? I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Watch. Watch this. Now, you've seen me do this a lot of times, but I'm going to show you something I never showed you. Period of time. He said the period of time is when I bring back Israel as a nation. In 1914, there was a Balfour Declaration. Great Britain helped the Jewish people there in Israel. But that was in 1914. But in 1948, right, Israel raised their flag. Star of David. Let's pretend it's the Star of David, okay? For the first time, Brother Davis, for the first time in over 2,000 years. See, even before they were scattered, 500 years before Christ. Are you with me? So for over 2,000 years, they were scattered without a nation. How many are with me yet? Now watch this. So it's starting to bud, but they didn't have Jerusalem. They didn't have Jerusalem. And in 1967, there was something called the Six-Day War. And in 6 days, 3 million Jews beat 100 million Arabs. 3 million against 100 million, and the 3 million, literally, if they wouldn't have stopped, America jumped in and said, you're driving out in the Mediterranean. You got to stop. Isn't God great? Don't mess with God. 3 million, Jack, against 100 million. That's pretty good. That's pretty good winning. I think God's pretty bad stick, don't you? Don't touch Israel. He's the apple of God's eye. Watch. They got Jerusalem back. And now, he said, Jerusalem's trodden down, but they're going to come back, and they're going to get Jerusalem back. And they're going to have it till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Watch. I thought about this, Ruthie. You study the Bible a lot. I thought about this as I was reading a couple weeks ago, and then it came in my mind this week. Look at one more scripture. Well, in Luke, let me just share something. In Matthew, let me share one. Look with me one more time in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. It talks about the generations. And look at verse 17. Matthew 1:17, and I'll just quote from now on. I know it's late. But boy, I want you to learn. I want you to learn the Bible. So all the generations from Abraham, who are we starting with, to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away from Babylon to Christ are 14 generations. 14, 14, 14. Three 14s, right? What's that? 42. There's 42 generations. What's the starting point? You're right. The starting point is Abraham. And he said, from Abraham to Jesus, there's going to be 42 generations. There was 42 generations. Now, watch. Some people, like in my Bible, says Abraham was between 2,200 to 2,000 years before Christ. How many are with me? I'm gonna show you something. Let's take this real easy one, Steve. 2,100 years from Abraham to Jesus. Are you with me, class? Divided by 42 generations. What's a generation? See, he said, this, Matthew 24, this generation, this generation. When it gets into truth, this generation, your kids' generation, you're in that generation. This generation shall not pass. Well, just to make a short, when you divide this by 42, you're going to come up with exactly 50. 50 years per generation. Now, I know Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. And by the way, I'm going to give you these things, but I still don't know if what God's generation is. I'm just showing you. I'm just trying to. Why didn't he give me the generations of Abraham? How many are with me yet? If you do this, it's around 52, a little bit less than 52, be 51.8. And this is 47.6, so you'd say 48 years. If you go back just 2,000 years, the generations would be 48. If you go right in the middle, it'd be 2,100 years from Abraham to Jesus, be 50 years per generation. If you go back to 2,200 years, it'd be 52. Watch this. And we're going to go home. By the way, no man knows the time, and neither do I. I'm just studying the scriptures, but Jesus, you're giving us signs. If you took the 52 and you added that generation to 1967 when they got back in Jerusalem, that'd be 9, 11, 0, 2019. Watch this. If you put 50 under this, at 7, 11, 0, 2, 2017. How many are with me? If you put 48 here, 48 and 67, that's 40, that's, what's that, 5, 15, and then you got, I can't read my writing, 6, yeah, 11, yeah, 2015. Are you with me? That's if I'm right. I don't know exactly, but I'm trying to study the Bible. And I'm seeing God put me for a reason, Ruthie, for a reason. He said there's 42 generations between Jesus and Abraham. Are you with me, Coolidge?
Yeah.
Now watch this, kids. 2015, but whenever you read Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, Ray, those are always tribulation passages, Josh. Every time you say, those are all referring to the trip. We're not going to be in the trip. We go up 7 years before. So, if you took 7 from 215, that'd be 208. What year is this?
208.
Oh. If you took 7 from 2017, with some of your liking because it's longer, you'd come up with 2010. If you took seven from this, it'd be 2012. By the way, you know what 2012 is? The Mayan calendar only goes up to 2012. The Mayan calendar says in 2012, something drastic is going to happen, and the time's going to quit. I'm not going by the Mayan calendar, by the way. I'm just telling you, you're going to hear a lot about the Mayan calendar. How many ever heard about the Mayan calendar? Mayan. Mayan, yeah. Spell it, Dave. You're smart.
M-A-Y-A-N.
M-A-Y-A-N. Anyways, the Mayan calendar goes up to 2012 and it stops. Don't say why, but it stops. Now, let me say this to you. All these numbers could be wrong, but I don't think, I think I'm close. All I did, Cooley, just take the 42 generations that God gave me. Because I believe he says everything in that Bible because he wants me to study and learn. And he gave me, David, a tool to calculate with. He said, if you can, but I don't know I don't know the exact year of Abraham. I know he's between 2,200. Do you know the exact year, Rod? It's all a baseball, so it's a pin on a donkey. We don't know. But it's between 2,200 and 2,000. But even if you even took the middle one, are we getting close to Jesus coming back? All I can say is this: I don't know. I don't know the day Christ is coming, but I do know something: He's coming soon. And I'm going to tell you right now. Yes, sir. Yes. Everything. I'll say that. You're right, Josh. It's 20 of 8. A preacher really went long, and I'm going to stop because I'll bring this up again. But everything's, a lot of your stuff's all working on 2012, including the marrow and a lot of other stuff. By the way, it's interesting, and Phil thinks that chip's going in 2008. The RFID chip, Phil thinks it's going in 2008. The chip. I thought it was just a scanner. He thinks the chip's going in May of 2008. If the RFID chip, remember how I put the guys across today? If the chip goes in May of 2008, then you've only got one little section left, and that's the rapture, and then the trip. Are you with me? I know, kids, you're not going to get old like preacher. I know that. But boy, you're going to have more fun in heaven than you'll ever have down here. Hello? And by the way, maybe I'm wrong. The Apostle Paul preached. Paul thought Jesus was going to come in his time. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I'm going to say this and I'll let you go home. But I've studied the Bible for a long time. I've got a lot to learn about the Bible. But your preacher knows a little bit about the Scriptures. I'm not a dummy in the Scripture. I don't think I'm a smart aleck. But I think I know a little bit. I'm not dumb in the Scriptures. I don't have good speech. I don't have a beautiful voice. But I know God. I know God. And I know what he puts in my heart, Bobby. And I believe he's coming real soon. That's why we're going to do all we can this year. In the next couple of years, we're going to go full force in this church to win people to Christ, because I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is coming back soon. And if you got family and friends that need to be saved, you better reach them now, because I'm going to tell you, I might hit that 2008 number. Are you with me? Hey, it doesn't matter what year he comes, we should be serving him. He says, watch, for you know not when the time he comes. I don't know when, but I know from my study, and with the signs, it appears that we're really close. Now, don't walk out and say, preacher says we're going to go up in 2012. I don't know that. I'm just sharing I'm a numbers nut. Let's bow our heads in prayer.